Well, let's bring Mike Gender into these microphones because he is going to give us additional insight now that there has been a pope selected to lead the church of over 1 billion worshipers. And in the city of Rome, in the Vatican itself, they did select a man. Mike, talk to me about this gentleman. He was one of the cardinals from out of Argentina, Buenos Aires, Argentina. He was not expected to be elected. He is the first non-European pope in, I guess, over 1,000 years. Any significance to that at all, and what about the selection?
Yes, Jimmy, I believe part of the reason for a non-European pope is that the growth of the Roman Catholic religion is now in the Southern Hemisphere, with South and Central America and Africa being the predominant populations of Roman Catholics. And so this is why the Roman Catholic Church elected this man to rule over the 1.2 billion Catholics. And he's a very interesting pope in that he is said to be a very humble man that served the poor. But right off the bat, of course, he's referred to as Holy Father, a title given to God alone. And so he may be expressing humility and serving the poor, but to steal a title reserved for God alone is definitely the most arrogant and blasphemous position he could take as he begins his papacy.
You know, I am going to talk in just a moment with Brandon House about the fact that he's a Jesuit. But from your observations, is that of great concern?
Well, it is. The Jesuits were formed in the 16th century for the purpose of eliminating the opposition of the Protestants. The Jesuits were formed as a counter-reformation movement, and they were there to protect the Pope and to protect the Roman Catholic religion. And so, yes, this is indeed significant. But the other significance is that the Jesuits have adored Mary the Ever-Virgin, more so than other priests and cardinals and bishops. And so we see this pope right off the bat. He never mentioned the name above all names, the name of Jesus Christ, but he said the next day after his ordination that he was going to be praying to Mary for the protection of Rome. And so once again, we see that nowhere in Scripture does any God-fearing man ever pray to anyone other than God. This man is clearly an enemy of the gospel. He's a victim of deception, and now he's going to lead 1.2 billion Catholics further into deception because he does not know the truth of the gospel.
What about his name that he selected, Pope Francis the First? Any significance to that?
Well, the reports are saying that he took that name because of Francis of Assisi, which was one who was also dedicated to serving the poor. And it's interesting that no other pope has ever taken that name. And so this man is definitely unique. He's wearing the cross around his neck that he's always worn and not taking the more glamorous crosses that popes usually wear. And so in a lot of ways, he's different from the traditional papacy, but yet many are calling him a traditionalist rather than one of reform.
Let me talk to you, and I'm very much concerned about what you sent me. You sent me an article that talked about Rick Warren, the Baptist preacher out in California, who put out a tweet and asked his 900,000 fans on Facebook to pray for the selection of the Pope, pray for the Catholic Church. Was that a good thing, or I think it seems to be a bad thing? What's your opinion?
Well, it is. I believe Rick Warren is one of the most dangerous evangelicals in the world today, and that's because he compromises the gospel. Clearly, he does not know the exclusivity of the gospel. He's attempting to make the narrow road that leads to life a lot more broader than it is. He's trying to make the gospel more inclusive by suggesting that Roman Catholics are true Christians, are brothers and sisters in Christ. And Jimmy, this is really a tragedy because what it does is it confuses the average evangelical, and many evangelicals today do not follow the Word of God. They follow personalities, and Rick Warren being one of the largest personalities in the evangelical church, they are believing him. And so what this does is it pretty much puts what I consider the world's largest and most neglected mission field off limits to ever hearing the gospel. it's a tragedy because many Roman Catholics now will not be witnessed to because of people like Rick Warren and other evangelicals that are signing unity accords.
This is a very dangerous situation in the time in which we're living. Your thoughts are that we need to evangelize every single person that says they are a Catholic, because if they follow the dictates of the church, they surely do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Is that right?
Well, that's true. The Roman Catholic Church worships and trusts another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. It's the Eucharistic Jesus that is called down from heaven every day to be offered again as a sacrificial victim on Catholic altars. And Jimmy, whenever you have another Jesus, it always leads to another gospel. Rome denies that Jesus is sufficient to save sinners completely and forever. Therefore, they need another gospel to instruct Catholics what they must do in order to be saved. The Catholic Jesus merely opened the gates of heaven. Now Catholics must do their part to get through the gates. And so Catholics are victims of deception. They need to hear the true gospel. And it just really grieves my heart to see Rick Warren embracing them as a valid expression of Christianity. The truth needs to be known, and I'm thankful for radio programs like yours that are bold enough to stand on the truth and courageous enough to seek the approval of God over the approval of men.
Thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate that. And we so appreciate your ministry as well. And thank you for the insight that you've given about the new pope that has been selected there at the Vatican. Appreciate it. We'll talk again, Mike.
Thank you, Jimmy.